This is Living the RV Dream with Traveling Roberts, episode 24 for September 1st, 2017.
I'm riding with my RV.
My RV.
Wherever I want to be. Cause I'm free in my RV.
Well, hello, happy campers, boondockers, full-timers, wherever you happen to be, thank you. Thank you so much for listening to Living the RV Dream. I am your host, Traveling Robert, Robert Morales. And of course, this program is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes. And I thank them so much for their support. And I'm flying solo here. Today I'm coming to you from Johns Island County Park, which is just 7 miles southwest of Charleston. Although with the traffic and all that, it feels a little further, actually. We're hearing, of course, obviously in South Carolina. And what a pretty town Charleston is. You know, so much history. And all these picturesque antebellum houses, very, very nice. But before I tell you about Charleston, I want to talk about what we've been up to. The last time we spoke, we were in the Tennessee Mountains at this place called the Davy Crockett Campground. Very nice, very quiet. Actually, someone commented on Facebook, I think that used to be like a nudist camp. I don't know if that's true, but the campground was very nice. They had like this indoor hot tub and a swimming pool. They said it was heated, but we didn't even use it. We just relaxed for those 2 days. They have a restaurant for breakfast and the lake. And wait till you see the video. It's a beautiful place. It's right on the top of the Cumberland Plateau, just west of Asheville, I guess. A couple hours west of Asheville. And the road going up there was a little steep, but I think we've gotten the hang of steep hills by now. You just gotta go slow. You know, anyway, many more steep hills to come, I'm sure. And after we did the Cumberland Plateau, going from Chattanooga to Nashville, you know, going up the hill to Mount Eagle, I think after we got that one down pat, I think every other hill is going to be okay. We just gotta take it slow. Well, we didn't do much there at that campground. In fact, we didn't even unhitch the car. We just took a day to decompress. I worked on some of the videos. Harder than it looks from the road, actually. I have a renewed appreciation for people who do daily vlogs from the road. It is extremely hard to be touring during the day, you know, seeing things, and then at night, edit it and put it all together. And if you hear some noise in the background, there's some cicada, about a bunch of them here on the trees. And I don't want to turn on the AC, so I have my windows open and the fantastic vent on low. And it is not too bad, the temperature here in Charleston. Well, from there, we went to Asheville. And in Asheville, we stayed at another KOA. And let me tell you something about KOAs and why we stay so much at them. Mainly, it is convenient. You just open the app, like on your phone or the iPad, and it remembers you. It knows what kind of rig you have. So you just select the dates, the type of site that you want to, you know, check out. And that's it. You know, sometimes you have to put your credit card number, but sometimes you don't even have to do that. It remembers. So you don't have to be calling and wasting time. And yes, I understand KOAs are more expensive than the rest of the campgrounds, but I think it is time for the RV park industry as a whole to come into the 21st century, guys. I'm serious. And, you know, everybody should get together and come up with a simple universal reservation system. I don't think it would be that hard, and they need that, or it's going to happen, you know, like what happened to the taxi cab industry when Uber came in. Some people are just going to be left behind because, I mean, the new generations, they don't want to be calling campgrounds and waiting to talk to somebody and make the reservation. You know, campgrounds need to offer the convenience to their customers, and like KOA, like Thousand Trails, like most of the state's parks, Reserve America is pretty good. So that's it. rant over, but really, that is one of the things that sometimes bothers me, because you have to be calling around and it wastes time. Okay, we stayed there at the KUA, I think it's called Asheville East KUA, and it was very quiet for the first night, and then the weekenders came in, you know, people like us, but since we're traveling a little bit longer term now, we start to feel them when they come in, and there were some people like fishing right next, encroaching on our campsite, really. They were like almost leaning on our table, and they didn't even have a lakefront site. You know, it wasn't their site. They just basically used ours. Anyways, on a positive note, we really liked Asheville. The city has this particular vibe, kind of like a hippie town, you know, like a mixed of a college town with a hippie town, like a, maybe kind of Venice, California, with a little bit of Boulder, Colorado. I don't know. That's the vibe that I got. And there's a bunch of people, you know, young people on the streets playing music. And there's a little bit of vagrancy and homelessness. But, you know, it wasn't too bad. That's probably what reminded me of some of these places. Anyway, there's a big shopping center in the downtown, but it's very antique, very cool. It's called the Grove Arcade, and we visited that. And it's like built on a hill, so inside it's you're going downhill inside the shopping mall, which was kind of odd. But they have a bunch of cool shops and restaurants. And we didn't actually go to any of the main attractions on the first day. You know, they have like the pinball museum and all that, but we just walked around. It was the afternoon. We parked at the campground, unhitched, and went to downtown. We saw the Basilica of St. Lawrence, which is supposed to be a pretty cool, pretty famous place. We went to this bar, Carmel's Kitchen, and they had a $5 wine special, so we obviously partook on that. And the cool thing, there were a bunch of locals arriving, and you could tell they were locals because the bartender seems to know everybody on the first name basis. So rather intimately, actually. So it was kind of fun to eavesdrop on the conversations. And we also saw on the street, this band playing on the sidewalk, very delightful music. It was probably Appalachian music, I think. You know, they had a guitar, a banjo, upright bass, and a fiddle or a violin, I guess. And they were really good, really, really nice music. And I can't wait till you see that video, because I took a little bit of video of that. And they were playing, if you're in Asheville, if you want to check them out, maybe they're regularly. They were playing across the street from the Flatiron, which is this building that kind of looks like the Flatiron in New York. And they have a famous iron sculpture there. And it's in front of the Woolworth. So, see, if you go to Asheville, make sure you pass by there. Maybe you can catch them for a donation-based concert, really. You know, just drop a couple of bucks in the bucket. I think they deserve it. From there, we went to this other area. It's called Biltmore Avenue. And there's also College Avenue. But Biltmore Avenue was the main one. And there's a bunch of restaurants there, too. And they have this obelisk, the Vance Memorial. And it's called... it's honoring Zebulon Braid Vance, which was a governor of North Carolina and a senator. And he was also a Confederate colonel during the Civil War. We wanted to eat at this place, this tapas place called Curate, which is a Spanish place, but the wait time was like ridiculous. It seems to be a very trendy place, but it was over an hour, so we obviously found somewhere else to eat. We learned our lesson in Tennessee. I don't think I'm going to... wait a minute. We are not in Tennessee anymore. We're in North Carolina. I've been through so many states in this trip that I get confused. I'm not used to this long-term travel. Eventually, I'll learn. But we found another place, and that's where we ate. Yeah, the week before at the Loveless Cafe in Tennessee, we learned our lesson. Never, ever to wait more than half an hour for anything. There's always a place next door. On the next day, we visited the most famous attraction here, of course, at Asheville, the Biltmore Estate. And that place is huge. not only the main house, which is supposed to be the biggest house in the United States, biggest former private residence, I guess, but the whole property is huge. So yes, I guess it is a must. It's the main tourist attraction there in Asheville. And they wouldn't allow video recording inside, but I may have something for you in a future video. You know, sometimes you can just whip out your phone and take actually, like I did in, if you remember that video, if not, go to YouTube and check it out. In Graceland, in Nashville, Tennessee, what I did, they wouldn't allow video, but I took a couple of shots, but mostly what I did was a slideshow with that Ken Burns effect that zooms in and out of the pictures, and it's almost like video. I mean, you're shooting rooms, it's pretty much static stuff. So that's a lot of what I did at the Biltmore. Sometimes you gotta take a workaround to do the work that you want to do. Anyways, what else did we do at the Biltmore? Let me tell you about the tour. They give you this device that you have to hold up to your ear, you know, and punch numbers for the different rooms, you know, like an old telephone. And they give you the whole story of the Vanderbilts, you know, and all of that. And it takes over an hour to see the whole house and then the gardens. And there's a village and the winery and an Irish pub. I mean, it's pretty much a whole day event. And as I said earlier, we didn't enjoy much our uninvited neighbors at the campground, so we went back and they were still hanging around. Actually, when we went back, the campground was packed full. This was a Friday, of course. So we decided to go drive on a section of the Blue Ridge Parkway, and that was very cool. That was actually one of the highlights of our whole time there in Asheville, since right there in the outskirts of Asheville, they have the visitor center for the Blue Ridge Parkway. And if you don't know, it's this highway, this two-lane road that goes all up and down the Appalachian Mountains. And at one point, we even went up into the clouds, and it was very nice to stop at all the different scenic overlooks and check that out. Anyway, from moving along from Asheville, we continue towards Charlotte. But first, we wanted to visit this park. It's a state park called Chimney Rock State Park. And it has a big chimney rock that I don't know why it's called chimney. But anyways, they have RV parking in the in an area called the Meadow. So especially if you arrive early, you should have no problem parking your rig. They'll indicate where to go, and they'll pick you up on a shuttle and take you all the way up to where the trailheads are. And they have several trails. And keep in mind that the elevator was broken. They do have an elevator, but it was there was a big construction going on at the time that we visited here in late August of 2017. So we had to climb the 500 steps to the top of the Chimney Rock. Challenging, but actually most rewarding experience. The views are fantastic from there. And we also did another trail that goes to this waterfalls called Hickory Nut Falls. And it's not the most stunning of falls, you know, it's not Niagara Falls or anything like that. But it was nice. It just was just a trickle of water coming down. And probably the journey was as rewarding as the destination. And from there, when we were going back to the visitor center, if you will, to the main trailheads, we discovered this other trail that went all the way down to where we were parked. And it was mostly downhill. I think it's called the Four Seasons Trail. So we took it, and so we didn't have to wait for the trailer. And as I said, it was mostly downhill. So it didn't take all that much effort, and that was really cool. And and now the drive from Asheville to this place may not be suitable for all RVs, the drive from Asheville to the Chimney Rock. So make sure you have that RV GPS handy. We didn't, of course. We used Google Maps, and Google took us on some roads that were not terrible or excessively dangerous or anything like that. You know, no low clearance bridges. Just a few hairpin switchbacks and a few steep grades. You know, I took it slow. I downshifted. We were fine. Anyway, from Chimney Rock, we went to Charlotte, North Carolina. And actually, we stayed at the Fort Mill KOA, which is actually in South Carolina. And sadly, the next day, you know, my wife flew back to Miami, so I continued solo. And let me tell you, it's very weird. I thought it was going to be easier, but it's very weird doing this by yourself when you're used to having a companion. So I spent that Sunday mostly working on some videos, you know, just hanging at the RV park. I did laundry, all that kind of stuff. They had a Publix next door, so I didn't feel as homesick as I thought I would, you know, because South Florida, Publix, so those are the supermarkets, by the way, that. And you know, it's nice to find a familiar place. And then on the next day, I met up with Brian Wood, and he has a blog, and he admins some groups on Facebook, like the Thor Motorhome group, and he has a YouTube channel. In fact, I'll put a link in the show notes to his video of our meetup, actually, which was pretty cool. And by the way, those show notes are available also at travelingrobert.com/podcast/0024. So check them out there. And check Brian's channel, you know, go to YouTube and just type RVing Illustrated. And he has some nice trips with his wife, Angie. And and by the way, on that day, he took me on a tour of the whole Charlotte area. And to be honest about it, I'm going to have to watch the video because I don't remember all the stuff we saw. I mean, we were he drove me around for a couple of hours. We saw like we passed by the NASCAR Hall of Fame, which is like one of the main tourist attractions there. And we drove through downtown. Some very lively areas, actually. I liked it. And then he took me by the racetrack and all the shops that, you know, the manufacture parts for NASCAR. And then we went to this place. It is called the Barcelona Burgers and Beer. And for some reason, I had a note that, you know, like a reminder to go to that place, maybe through him. And it's located in Mooresville, North Carolina, and near actually where Brian lives. And it was very nice. It's a huge place, and the burgers are good. And, you know, they have a good selection of craft beer. So that's always good. Anyways, that was a fun time with Brian Wood. Check him out, RVing Illustrated. And on the next day, I also took it slow, but, you know, I drove most of the day, but eventually made it here to where I am right now. As I record this, I'm near Charleston, South Carolina, and this is such a beautiful city. And let me give you a quick recap of what I did yesterday. It was an action-packed day. Actually, the day that I arrived, there's this famous oak tree around here in the area called the Angel Oak, and it was closed, but I just drove past it, and you can see it from the outside, and then I just snapped a picture for Instagram, and that was great, and that picture, people have liked it a lot. So anyway, before I forget, I want to tell you about our sponsor, Rad Power Bikes. I almost forgot, you know, so excited telling you about our adventures. But anyways, Rad Power Bikes is an electric bike manufacturer, and they offer direct-to-consumer pricing on their powerful premium electric bikes. And because they sell directly to you, the consumer, you won't see that large retail markup that would be present if you were buying from a third party or a dealer, ensuring you're always getting a performance e-bike at a fraction of the cost. So visit radpowerbikes.com or call 1-800-939-0310 to learn more about their models or to place an order. And now they're offering free shipping on all the four models. And that's pretty cool. I hope to get my hands on one of those. Anyways, like here in Charleston, what I did, I told you about the Angel Oak on the first night, and then I woke up at the crack of dawn yesterday, and I did a run around the lake here. It's a very, very, very beautiful campground where we are here in James Island. And then early in the morning, I drove to Charleston because I wanted to visit Fort Sumter National Monument. And if you want to visit there, you have to park by the aquarium, and they have a a ferry that takes you to the island where Fort Sumter is, and it takes about 2.5 hours. No, was it? Yes, 2.5 hours more or less, because it's a half hour a boat ride. Then you are on the fort for a whole hour, and they give you all the history about Fort Sumter, how the Civil War started there and how it got destroyed, and then they raised the flag. And it was very nice, very informative. It was a nice time on the island, and the weather was nice. It wasn't hot at all. It was kind of overcast, but it wasn't the 70s. Very, very pleasant. And then there's another hour for the ride back to the mainland. And, you know, when I went back, I drove back to this area called the French Quarter. And I found parking. Parking was kind of hard to find, but I did. And I was actually hoping to have lunch at the Lagunitas Brewery. The Lagunitas Brewery that they have there, but it's closed. So I found this other place. Actually, you would think I would eat like southern food here, but I went to this place called the East Bay Meeting House. And it's pretty cool because it's like a French-inspired restaurant. And I think they have like even poetry readings at night. And I just had a turkey club sandwich with brie, which was actually very, very good. And then I just, you know, walked down East Bay Street. There's the old exchange. There's this row of houses, which actually I didn't think it was all that interesting, but it's a bunch of houses painted in different colors. And it's a thing. There were a bunch of people taking pictures. And yeah, it is very picturesque. This whole area is very picturesque. And I just walked down the street all the way south to the White Point Garden, which is like the southern end of the southernmost point of Charleston. But as you walk down the street, there are all these mansions like from the 1700s, and they all have like a plaque, you know, with a year, and a lot, some of them are under repair. And some of them are museums, but most of them are private residences, and they're all very nice. Then I went to this park called White Point Garden, you know, where they have the battery, you know, some cannons there. It's very cool. Then I walked north on Meeting Street, and over there I saw a bunch of other famous houses, including the Calhoun Mansion, which is like the largest private residence in the whole city, and right now nowadays is like a museum. I didn't actually go inside. By this time I had already walked many miles, and I was tired, and I didn't really feel like going inside a museum and be there for a couple of hours. You know, I saw the St. Michael's Church, which is very important. There's a bunch of churches. Actually, they call Charleston the Holy City because of the amount of churches. You know, they have Pentecostal and of course they have a Catholic cathedral and Episcopal and Baptist. You know, all the denominations, and it's pretty cool because every church has like right next to it a cemetery, and those are really, really old cemeteries. I saw one where the Calhoun guy, Calhoun, you know, when I mentioned the house, is buried. And then to finish my day, I just took a walk on the historic Charleston City Market, which is also a very historic city market, dates back to 200 years ago. And nowadays it's very touristy, you know, a lot of souvenirs and a lot of African American ladies selling these weaved baskets, and it's very, very interesting. But I did not buy anything, actually. Anyways, that was my day in Charleston. And then at night, I met up with a viewer of the YouTube channel, John Langman. And we went to this barbecue place here nearby, near the campground in John's Island, called Swig and Swine. Very nice. We had a nice time chatting, you know, about YouTube, about everything, you know, traveling, RV traveling. He's also an RVer. And that's it. I am here recording this on Thursday morning on August 31st, and you're going to hear this on September 1st. By the time you hear this, I'm probably going to be somewhere on the road, halfway going back to Miami. I think I'm going to make a run for it. and just go back home and get ready for the next trip. I have so much video to edit. I have like 2 months worth of video to edit, so it's going to be great, but I want to do it from the comfort of home, I guess. Maybe I'm a little homesick. And I want to tell you about the Reno Viola Outdoors Radio, which syndicate our program every week, every Thursday. So if you are into the fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free app. And of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, I am Traveling Robert, one word, American spelling. And do check out my YouTube channel. Most of you probably already do, but I'm putting videos there every Sunday about some new destination, about all my travels. By the way, I am also on Patreon, and that would be patreon.com/travelingrobert. I'll put a link on the show notes. And if you like the work that I do and you find value in it, do consider supporting the work that I do there. Until the next time, thank you so much for listening, and see you on the road.